Welcome to Community News and Review on 1230 WBZT, the Palm Beaches Talk Station, hosted by Philip Bell. I'm Michael Wolf. Half of marriages end in divorce.
That's funny. 100% of mine did. Anyway.
How to protect yourself and not treat your kids as property, featuring well-known top national attorney Ronald Bell. Where do I know this guy from? He's from Ronald Bell and Associates. We'll tell you all about it.
Well, I guess going into marriage right now, we have one of the best family law attorneys, and I guess we're not going to take a break, or are we?
You want to go right to? Let's go right to Ron. Yeah.
Go right to Ron?
Yeah, sure. Don't make him wait around.
Okay. Well, I should. I know Ron.
Good family member.
I knew Ron my whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And believe me, I was thinking different ways to poke fun at him, you know. But first of all, I'd like to say good evening. Good evening, Ron.
How are you, Philip?
I'm very good, Ron.
Philip, we just had a major storm in Illinois just now, hailstorm.
Wow.
Size of golf balls, unexpected. They said there'd be some storms later today, but a major. Truthfully, big golf ball scared the hell out of everybody.
Wow.
I wanted to share something with you on a side note, a funny thing, and it came across my desk around the same time as the hailstorm.
Uh-huh.
It's a story about Noah, and it said that Noah is now living in Illinois, and once again the earth has become evil. And I see the end of flesh before me, said the Lord, and build another ark and save me two of every living thing with good humans. And he gave Noah 6 months to do it. And he said that he'll start ending the world with 40 days and 40 nights of rain. And 6 months later, the Lord looked down and didn't see any ark. And Noah said, Lord, things have changed. How they changed? He says, well, I now need a building permit. Mm-hmm. And I've been arguing with the boat inspector because they want a sprinkler system. And my neighbors claim that I violated the neighborhood bylaws by building an ark in my backyard, exceeding the height limitations. The local council and electric company want me to pay to move lines. I've got a problem with wood because they're making me pay for every little twig, $50, which is about, $5 million for all the moving of the wood, which I didn't have. I started gathering the animals, and then the animal rights people said that I'm confining them in too small places. It's too restrictive. It's cruel and inhumane, and the animals cannot be there. And the Environmental Protection Agency said I couldn't build the ark until they conducted an environmental study, and I'm still trying to resolve the complaint with the Human Rights Commission on how many minorities I need. And the Obama group wanted me to have to pay health insurance for all the boat builders. Trade unions say I can't use my sons. I insist on using trade workers. And to make matters worse, the Internal Revenue Service said I'm seizing all these assets and taking them out of the country, and they seized everything. So forgive me, Lord. I cannot build the ark. And suddenly, all the skies cleared, which kind of did here in Illinois. And the sun began to shine, and the rainbow stretched, and Noah looked and wondered and said, Lord, does that mean you're not going to destroy the world? And Lord said, no, government beat me to it. So give me an amen on that, Phil.
Amen. Ba-dum-bum, you need a little drum roll. Because of the transition within family law, and I want our listeners to know why you're on the phone, why I invited you on. It's not because you're my brother. It's because you are one of the top-rated attorneys nationally, and you have such a background. Ron?
Yeah, I've been an attorney, Philip, as you know, since I was age 23. I graduated law school, and I went to work for the Illinois Attorney General's Office for 4 years, handling major litigation such as the John Wayne Gacy case and the search and seizure laws and representing all the state agencies. And then I proceeded to go into medical malpractice when I got out and made a lot of money doing that. And then I created helped create a company, a consulting company, that over 20 years went from $1 million to $250 million. But throughout the whole career, I've always dealt with family law. There's just something about it that's so humanistic, about relationship. It's not much different, though, than partnership disputes. That's what viewers should understand. Basically, no attorney can get rid of the anguish and the depression that a relationship brings. But it's really a more of an advocate for just treating a situation like that as a partnership dispute. Absent the children issue, for a side note, we have businesses that have to be divided up. We have assets that have to be divided up, no different than a business dispute. And I try to get clients into counseling to help them with the emotional problems of the divorce. Children are paramount in any case. But usually with divorce, the property issues, if you take the emotional issues out of it, are not that difficult to solve. The laws are written in many states to be fair. Community property is in California, which gives you 50% of everything. Illinois is different. We're an equitable state, so it could be 60-40 or 70-30 or 50-50. We have a little bit more discretion of what's fair. We look at 12 factors to determine what's fair, and one is ability to acquire assets in the future. There's a big disparity of income of the spouse versus the other spouse. They may give that spouse who has less income a little bit more assets to justify the split. They say that the other partner can recoup the money over a period of time.
Right.
So divorce law, the first thing a person needs to do when they're in a divorce case is to get a good advocate, somebody that understands their position and somebody that could instruct them and guide them through the plans of a divorce.
But one of the things,
because you file a divorce doesn't mean you're getting one.
But one of the things that aggravates you as an attorney are those attorneys that feed the other side. And they feed the other side, get them angry. You're asking for too little or whatever, and they get them angry, so what happens? The divorce attorney makes more money.
That is present in our profession, and not just family law, but in business litigation and many other litigations, where the attorney looks out after themselves more than they do the client. The good attorneys are the ones that look out at after their client, and they're supposed to do that by the code of ethics. They're not supposed to encourage clients so that they foster litigation. They're supposed to resolve litigation. They're supposed to get the matter resolved for the benefit of their client to the best benefit. The only reason you don't settle a case is if you get your client a better deal through the judge. You have to assess that. You have to be experienced. You have to know who the judge is, what their history is. You have to talk to the judge. See what he has to think about the case. And then, if it's cheaper to pay the attorney and try to get more, then you can go for more because the other side's being unreasonable and they should have offered you more or you should have had a different deal.
I got to tell you.
But there's ways of stopping that. There's ways of going to a mediation process where the two folks sit down there together without their attorneys and with a skilled mediator, who is usually an attorney, and try to get them to have common sense as to what they should do.
Ronald, it's Phil's partner, Mike Wolf. Listen, I got to tell you, I liked you instantly when I saw the material that Phil sent me with a background on you about the paramount importance of the children. And let me just relay a story. It'll just take a minute. A friend of mine who was a retired attorney told me, don't go through the divorce without talking to a lawyer first. And I said, okay, fine, give me a name. I'm giving you this guy's name because he is the best in South Florida. I go to the guy's office. It's like on the 22nd floor. It's all million-dollar paneling in the office and stuff like that. He sits me down, and he starts asking me questions, and he says, you think you could work a settlement out with your wife? And I said, I think we can. We're still pretty amicable. He goes, good. Because I'm going to charge you $100,000. It's going to take 3 years. It's going to cost $20,000 for the forensic bookkeeper alone. So here's my advice to you. Get the hell out of my office and don't come back. I said, and he stood up, gave me a hug. He said, good luck, buddy, but listen, you're on the right track. Don't screw it up. And that was, I was astounded.
But you still need an attorney to draft the agreement
and he steered
me to go before the judge and finalize the case.
Yes, he steered me to one who takes care of little cases because even though there were millions of dollars involved, he said, if you guys can work it out, work it out.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's what you hope to have happen in a case like that. It's, you know, believe it or not, when there's millions of dollars involved, the case is easier to settle.
Hmm.
Harder to settle when there's less property involved because it means much more to the parties and it means everything to them. That's all they have. And my experience, in all honesty, after 34 years of doing this, if they don't fight about the property, they fight about the children. If there's no property, they'll fight about the children. And that's because of the relationship. You know, it's a relationship that's being broken. So now they consider the children possessions instead of being a mom and a dad and putting the children first. Really. And
we have cases sometimes
that are great. The people are great. They understand the children are first. And in Illinois, we send them. It's required. And I was involved in helping create this. We send them the parenting classes. And I saw it in Lake County working, and I referred it to Cook County. And they started their own program, parenting classes that teach people how to be divorced parents, not married parents, but divorced parents. You need to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm. How do you teach people, though, to let go of the spite and the emotion tied to it, though? How do you help?
I try to tell them you need counseling to get over this. I tell them that it's a business dispute. I can't save your marriage, although many cases I handle, I'm able to, you know, the people are able to work it out and maybe even get remarried or back together again. So the emotional thing is something, it's usually one party's okay with it and the other doesn't want it. And I've experienced with women especially, they could walk away. Many women, not all women. Some women have a real problem walking away. But if a woman wants a divorce, the guy is dead to him. The guy will always carry the torch, but the woman could just wipe him off. Doesn't even think twice about it. Now, in cases where women sometimes, it's not all the time. Many times women are very hurt over the situation. They didn't want it, and they have a difficult time, too. And counseling is where to go. But nobody could keep two people together who don't want to live together. Divorce is inevitable if one party wants it. It takes two to stay together. You know, we have a divorce rate now that's like 50% of the people can't stay married. And I would say that number, if you're in the entertainment field, is like 90%.
Wow.
It's just incredible. As a matter of fact, I don't even know why people in the entertainment field get married. They should just probably have just like a lease of a spouse, you know, and not go through the whole procedure because their marriages last 6 months, they last 90 days, they last 3 or 7 years.
Well,
or
you
10
know,
years.
In Ireland, before the Catholic Church, couples renewed their vows yearly. And if either one wanted to walk away, that was it.
Really?
Yes.
You know, that's not we have a commitment in our jurisdictions now that, you know, people are married for life, to death do us part. And sometimes that's the way it works. But I've divorced people after 45 years of marriage. I said, why? You know, how much longer do you have? You know, why are you doing this? You know, it's weird. And then you get them divorced, and then they get they go back and live together because they missed each other.
Right. Yeah, they wanted to stay together till the children died.
Right.
This is a joke, sorry.
But you have to, you know, in our business, in the law business,
right,
you got to hire a guy like me to protect you against a guy like me. It's the only business like that. You have bad actors in there, and you need a good actor to protect you against a bad actor. There's a lot of things a lawyer can do when the other lawyer is running it up and not doing the things, and that's to stay to the grindstone, prepare your case, Because remember, if you can't get an agreement with the other side, the judge is right there, ready at any time to decide the case for you.
Yep.
And it's not that smart all the time to have a guy who doesn't really care about you make a decision about you. You and your wife created these assets. You and your wife brought these children in there. Shame on you if you can't resolve it. But sometimes you can't because of the relationship problem. And that's where you need a good advocate to get involved and create a situation, an environment, where common sense and logic will prevail over the spite and the hate and the distrust. That's what an advocate should be doing for you.
What I enjoy about my brother, and I mean this on a personal note, I'll get upset. I'll be yelling. He'll be talking calm and professional, and he'll calm me down. And okay, let's see where the problem is. Let's take care of it. And on a side note, a beautiful story. He married his high school sweetheart. You know, he's married. She was, I believe, 15. He was 16 when they first met.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been married now, Ron?
Oh, we've been married about 35 years. We've known each other and lived together for 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
That is a beautiful thing. But when you do your family law, and I know that you're all over the map when it comes to your, let's just say, your expertise, although I don't think I could call you an expert by any legal standards. Florida State Bar does not allow me to call any lawyer expert. They could say focus, but you're a full-service law firm. You just don't do family law. I asked you to come on to talk about that.
That's correct. I do personal injury, major personal injury cases, medical malpractice I'm known for.
Yeah.
And I do business litigation. Like I said, I took a company, major consulting company, from $1 million that they were doing before I joined them,
right,
as their corporate counsel, and helped counsel them into a $250 million company, major force here.
Yeah.
And through that consulting process, I got to know Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and George Bush and Henry Kissinger and
yeah,
Jesse Jackson, and just goes on and on. Wonderful people that, you know, historic people that were involved in the consulting business and consulting issues with these folks. And I really enjoyed my tenure with them. It's a question of, if you're a real lawyer, and I was in the Supreme Court at the age of 23 arguing cases for the Illinois Attorney General. And when you have that kind of background and being appointed by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals to represent a person who was accused of being a hitman for the mafia,
right,
who wasn't, and I created the law that if you are accused of something in a pre-sentence report, you have an absolute right to a hearing on it, which we eventually got and reversed it, and proved he wasn't a hitman for the mafia, so his sentence was not enhanced. It's litigation. And litigation, be it personal injury, be it family law, be it medical malpractice, is litigation.
Right.
You know, there's some people who call themselves family lawyers, and that's all they do. They can't even do a real estate closing, don't know how, but really what they are thugs. They're gym teachers. They're yellers. They yell in the court. They yell with their clients. Their clients like that because they're teaching their spouse, I got a bigger, louder lawyer than you do.
Right.
That's not the practice of law. That's a disservice to the client. The practice of the law is to represent your client vehemently within the bounds of the law to protect their interests. That's the rule of the law. But litigation is similar in all respects. When you go to a divorce trial, which many divorce lawyers don't know how to do and don't do, all they do is settle cases because
right,
they yell loud enough, long enough, charge their clients enough that the clients break down and they settle it. It's one way to practice, I suppose. But if you go to a divorce case and you have an issue on the valuation of the property, it's no different than fighting and doing a partnership dispute and having your expert on the stand and evaluating the property and show what the market value is and how he assessed that and putting on your case as a practitioner. And if you could do that, then you could do a medical malpractice case. You could do a personal injury case. You could do a criminal case. I was trained in all that. I wrote the law on search and seizures of automobiles in Illinois through the Supreme Court, People versus Smith. But it's a wide variety of things I've been exposed to since I was 23. You know, I've been practicing law 34 years now. I'm not an old man. And it's been a wide variety. I've pretty much seen the gamut, I think, of everything. And right when I think that and say that, something new comes in that I've never seen before.
Ronald,
but
still,
I'm up for the challenge.
You still love it,
and
don't you?
And I take it apart. And I have a very good track record. I don't lose cases. You know, we won 8 appeals last year and 8 trials last year of major proportions. And it's not, you know, listen, if you're good, you know when to settle if you're going to lose. And if you're good, you win when you should win. And if you're good, you'll win those cases if you prepare them right that are somewhat suspect, but you believe in them, you could put it together. There's no guarantee in litigation. So the best foot forward for a client is to do what's best for the client and to give them options. The first option, here's how you get out of it. Here's how you settle it. Second option is here's what you can get if you risk some issues and maybe you get more. Is it really worth your time to do that? And finally, do what you do best. Try a case.
Yeah.
Leave it up to the client. It's a client's case, not your case. Okay? You got to treat it like it's your own case, but it's the client's decision. You work for the client, and you can't forget that as a lawyer. You work for the client. The client's always right. The client wants this. It's the client's case. And in a personal injury case, you may have a piece of the case, but that's not your decision. He's the injured party. If they say that's fine, they fell down, they hurt themselves, they say the $200,000 is fine, you think you might get them $400,000, they don't want to risk it. It's their risk. I know a lawyer that he had $6 million. At the same time I had a $4 million case, he had a $6 million offer on the table, and he didn't take it. And he went to trial, and he got zero for his client. Now the client has to raise that brain-damaged baby on their own funds, which it's difficult. The baby will be institutionalized. If they had the $6 million, they wouldn't have been able to do it. It could have been greed. It could have been a bad decision. I know when I had a similar decision, I had $4 million on the table, I took it. I took it not because of the amount of money, but because my client said, another $1 million won't make my kid see. Another $1 million won't make my kid not be retarded. Another $1 million won't change my situation. But my kid will never be in an institution. And that's why we took it.
You know, Ron, you're always in court. And one of the things you educated me is if I'm choosing an attorney, whether it's personal injury because I had an accident 4 years ago I didn't cause, you know, ask them, you know, how many times do they go to court a week? And that way you'll know if somebody's actually going to protect you and go to court, or they're looking just to be a settlement or settlement mill, if you will.
Right.
And that's very important. And I like that fact, Ron, that you're, of your background. I mean, you're a prosecuting attorney. That's how you started, as you pointed out, with the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
And you do criminal.
I was also appointed by the Attorney General to be a special prosecutor.
Right.
I actually prosecuted a state's attorney's husband was involved in a criminal act.
Wow.
And I've had a lot of dealings with the criminal law, both as a prosecutor and a defense attorney.
Well, it's interesting. In criminal law, we have, in Illinois, the last 4 out of 6 governors are in jail. Is that correct?
Yeah, our governor, one of the requirements of our governors being elected is they have to know how to make license plates.
You know what I want to know, Ronald, is when is your book coming out? I've just been glued to this now.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's still in the writing process.
Okay. I'll wait.
Well, Ron, I'll tell you, wish we had more time. But when we're talking about family law and those issues, you are the go-to guy. Actually, everybody who's sitting in here, with several people in here that are listening, shaking their head, they like you. You are actually an attorney's attorney. A lot of times other attorneys will call
you. That's true. Philip, that's true. I do represent other divorce attorneys in their divorce.
Yeah.
And I've represented divorce attorneys' wives in their divorce.
Uh-oh.
So I guess that is a true statement.
But you really have one of the highest success rates. That's why you're one of the top attorneys in the whole country, and I mean that. I'm not just saying that because you're my brother, even though you used to beat the heck out of me as a kid. But that's another story.
I didn't beat the heck out of you as a kid.
No. You only hit me in the head.
I saved your life. What are you talking about? Remember the 68 snowstorm?
Oh, that's actually a true story. We had a 68 snowstorm. I was 5 years old. I was 7 years old, and I was walking up this mound, and I fell in heads first, and I was starting to suffocate. Who comes along? My brother.
It was 15 feet deep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The snow drift. I'm not kidding. I heard a whimpering.
Yeah.
That's what little brothers do.
Yeah, but I bet you flipped a coin whether you're going to pull me out or not.
Yeah. I dug him out, actually. Just put a shovel.
Hey, Ron, I love you. I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to tap onto you from time to time. You're such an expert in law, and I want the listeners to know that Ronald L. Bell & Associates, you got to take a look at his website. If you take a look at his photo gallery, he's not kidding regarding the influences and the people from Hillary Clinton to George Bush. I mean, it's not political. Really, the best of the best, Henry Kissinger, and maybe you could twist his arm to come on sometime. And, Ron, we appreciate you coming on. Would you like to give out your website?
Yeah, it's Ronald. You could look me up under name Ronald Bell, attorney Ronald Bell in Illinois, Libertyville, Illinois. I think my URL now is called Best Lake County Attorney.
Yeah, cool.
Wow.
So that's what they put on there. So,
yep.
And my phone number is 847-495-6000.
And when the time comes right, I want you to come back on and talk about the internet fraud issues, and you're working with the FBI on that.
Yeah, I've handled a lot of those lately, and that's a big deal. You know, I've done a lot of it's not only internet fraud, Philip. As you know, I've had a lot of litigation with people taking, and I had a discussion with Hillary Clinton about this. People taking people's names and creating websites using the company's name and then disparaging the company.
Huh.
Then blackmailing the company, you want that off? Pay us money.
That's racketeering.
And, yeah, and I figured out a way under an act called the Lanham Act, saying, well, the only way you could really find this company is if you used our copyrighted name in your URL. And because you're using our copyrighted name, I got you for copyright fraud.
Wow.
And I shut down five different companies doing that instead of paying them the blackmail money.
Wow.
See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
In federal court.
Absolutely. Well,
and it helped establish with another law firm I helped work with, and I worked with a lot of big law firms in time. They hired me to help them with this, and we were able to shut them down because we figured out in the wild west of the internet that there has to be some control. And that's what I was telling Hillary Clinton about. There has to be some control. This is a wild west. People are doing things that are not under control. I mean, it's a whole other show, but it is a real problem today. Unless the government, like the Noah argument goes, the government, I told you about that story about Noah just
right,
a little while
right.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
The government does need to get involved in not limiting freedom of speech, but protecting truthful speech.
Absolutely.
We have the right to tell the truth. We don't never have the right to lie.
Right.
We don't have the right to lie. It's perjury if you lie in court. But to tell the truth, people need to see people's websites that are truthful, that are actually their website. They don't need to see some hacker's website so that they could demean the product or the services of another for their own pecuniary gain. Not one of those four or five cases I was involved with had any ulterior motive other than trying to extort money.
Right.
They wanted payment to stop the harassment.
And that's unconscionable. Okay? Ron, I wish we had
In other words, Philip, yeah. In other words, I just put it this way. It was those kind of cases are where they do the old protection racket. Protects you against who? Against the offender.
That's right.
The offender is selling you protection money. You don't want to fall for that.
No.
So there's a whole way of getting out of those kind of cases, if it's happened to any of your viewers. You do need to litigate it. You need to go to federal court, and you need to do it yourself because government, the FBI, will not help you on those kind of matters.
Well, Ron, unfortunately, we're definitely out of time. I'll certainly tap into you on those issues because those are key issues, especially down here in Florida. And there's a reason why they call it Fraud Lauderdale. This has been Ronald Bell, attorney. And ranked one of the top attorneys in the whole country, Mike. And he cares, as you pointed out, this man is passionate. This is his love. This is what he does. Ron, I thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks a lot, Philip. Be good.